Thank you for coming and being a part of our service today. Glad to have Lisa back today. Amen.
Amen.
Glad to have Miss Oglesby here today.
Amen.
Appreciate you being here, part of our service. And we thank you for all that you've done in the work of the ministry over the years. It's an honor to have you this morning. Amen.
Right. She was my first Sunday school teacher.
Really?
Ever.
You did a good job.
I was going to say, that's why George's such a good dude.
Yeah. That's right.
And she was a good one, too.
Amen. Amen. People like that's what keeps us going, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. You remember Ray, Brother Ray, when he came and done the Gideon thing? He come pick me up when I was a little old fella, carry me to church. So little did we know what God had a plan for us. I want us to go back to the book of Matthew. We want to, if you have been here for the last couple episodes that we've been talking about, last couple Sundays, about brand new, we've been talking about the Sermon on the Mount, we've been talking about what Jesus came to do. It's important as you read the Word of God. One thing that we're all guilty of is that we hear the Word of God preached and we just take it without studying it ourselves. And the Bible teaches us that we need to study the Word, because the problem with that is that there's all kind of interpretations today of what this says. So when you begin to read, really read the Word of God and understand the Word of God, the Holy Spirit has to give that revelation for you to truly understand and lead you in your studies. As I told you before, I like to read a lot of different references, and though I preach a lot from the King James Version, that's just me, but there's a lot of good versions out there. The New International Version gives an even better light on what the Word of God says. But we've been talking about that Jesus had come, and the Sermon on the Mount was that message that totally changed his outlook, or people's outlook, of who he was. You remember, as we, I don't want to take time to go back and reference everything, but we ended up last week in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, where Jesus was talking about that we're the salt of the earth. And so at first they took Jesus as an extension of Moses, an extension of religion, an extension of how they wanted things to be. I want to say this about you. God is only interested in relationship. He's not interested in religion. Religion is what men makes. Religion is rules that men make. God is about relationship. And Jesus came to bring brand new. He didn't come to be an extension of Moses. We've talked about that. He didn't come to carry on what Moses said. He came as fulfillment of Scripture, to bring about that God desired relationship with man. And so Jesus comes, he's ministering, and they have already concluded that he is a good prophet, a good teacher, but they didn't realize that he was the Son of God. Religion will separate you from God. Religion will cause you to do things that you think are right, but if it's not of the heart. Do you remember the episode when they were in the temple and everybody was giving their tithes, and this little woman gave a couple pennies? You remember that? And Jesus said she gave more than any of them. Well, that just blowed their mind. I mean, how in the world can he talk like that? Do you see the hundreds of dollars that I put in that plate? Do you see? But what was Jesus trying to get across to them? That serving him is about heart. He wants your heart. Jesus came to show us the heart of God. He's already told us in the Word that, and I heard one of them say this morning in our preliminaries, that, you know, there's no way we can come to God on our own. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. There's nothing we can do to earn salvation. How many of you know that? Every bit that we present is nothing. So Jesus came to say that I am the way, the truth, and the life. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But in Matthew chapter 5, he started turning the minds of people. And I want you to understand, when he preached the Sermon on the Mount, and again, I told you at the beginning, that what this was not a one-time thing. This was his philosophy that he preached throughout the whole 3.5 years that Jesus preached. But it started changing their minds. And when he got done with the Sermon on the Mount, they were determined to kill him. When he got done with the Sermon on the Mount, they were determined to kill him because they turned on him just that quick. Now, how did they do that? Because Jesus came to present a message that whosoever will can come to him. You don't have to be a Jew. You don't have to be a Gentile. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be poor. You come as you are. Nicodemus was in a tree one day and Jesus stopped. The whole multitude was just really around him. He stopped and looked up there. Nicodemus didn't even feel like he was worthy enough to get in the crowd, but Jesus stopped and said, I'm coming home with you today. You remember that story? So in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, let me just touch on a couple things. He said, you're the salt of the earth. And Jesus was saying that you're here for a purpose. Now he began to blow their minds because they felt that there was nobody good as they were, the Jews. That there was nobody good as the religious people. And that everybody else were like dogs. You remember that time that the lady, Jesus was there and she talked about crumbs and about the table and eating at the table, and Jesus said a dog. Somebody misinterpreted that, said Jesus called her a dog. No, he was saying what the religious people were saying, and you know what she said? Even the dogs eat from the crumbs. Remember that? And Jesus was excited because she was getting it. She was getting the message. And so he said, you're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. What do you mean? We've been taught that we're better than the world. We've been taught that we separate ourselves from the world. Matthew 5 and verse 16, look what that says. It said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In the same way, let your light shine before others. Last week we stopped right here. Remember we said others. We don't even like others. They're saying that we don't have anything to do with others. If they're not like us and they don't look like us and believe like us, we don't have anything to do with them. And now you're teaching that we are like them. We're looking for a Messiah. Look at 16 again. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. They were saying, this is new. Look at verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law of the prophets. Now I want you, this is good right here. Because Jesus is now beginning to explain to them, because the law of the prophets, the law and the prophets. You see, this was the Old Testament back then. They didn't call it the Old Testament. It wasn't called the Old Testament till around AD 130. And it was the Christians that called it the Old Testament. But they referred to it as the law and the prophets. And it said that I didn't come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am come to fulfill it. In other words, I'm come to end it and begin a new era, a new relationship, a new dispensation of time. And I want you to look at verse 18. This is good right here. I wish I had a New International Version, so if you got one, it's going to read it a little bit better. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot, one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law. Now they're saying, I was just about to get mad at him, but now he's brought the law back in, so he's good. But read on now. Let me read this again. This is good stuff right here. So Jesus is saying, I didn't come to destroy the law, but you're not getting it. Because they're hung up on the law. They're still living in Moses' day. You remember we said God buried Moses, because if he hadn't, they'd been worshiping him and his monument wherever he was. So nobody knows where Moses is, and God wanted it that way because that time was to vanish away. Look what he said. For verily I say unto you, to heaven and earth pass away, one jot and one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law. And then he had to go and say this word. The NIV says it this way, until. That one word is in King James, it says till, but until all be fulfilled. Now they're mad again. And that one word began a rage in their hearts to destroy him, because he had the audacity to go against Moses. Do you see? Do you see, church? The enemy wants you to live in the past. He wants you to hold on to something in the past. But our God is a great God who wants to give you fresh. He wants to love you every day, because I want you to understand, every day we go through is different. I guarantee you, out of 7 days you lived last week, there was probably something different in two or three of them days. You go through something all the time, and we serve a God that is a fresh God. And he said, until, you see, they're saying, wait just a minute. Are you saying that the temple sacrificial system is going to be gone? Are you saying all that's going to be over? Yes. That's what Jesus was saying. And if you study history, in AD 70, around August the 6th, 40 years later, Titus, who was Roman of the 10th Legion, done away with Judaism, and it went out of business, and the temple was no more. Is that awesome? The very thing that Jesus said, you can't practice without a temple. The very thing Jesus said is those temples are going to be wiped away, and that regime, that time period, is going to be gone. What is God trying to teach us here? You can't hang on to what you did in the past. People talk about their salvation and, well, I got saved such and such years ago, and I can tell you the time and the place, and all that's beautiful and all that's wonderful. But God wants an up-to-date relationship with you today. I want you to love me when we leave here today, but I got to tell you the truth. Coming to church won't save you. Reading your Bible won't save you. Singing gospel hymns won't save you. What saves you is that you got a relationship with our God every day, and say, Lord, I need you more every day. Amen. Amen. Jesus was born under God's covenant with Israel, and Jesus came under the law. He was born under the law, but he came under the law to fulfill it or replace it. To replace it with a covenant between God and man. All the teaching in the Old Testament, all the parables, all the things were a foreshadow of what God was going to do. And after the resurrection, there was a birth of the early church. And there's a struggle even today to make that break. Go with me to Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse 21. We're still in 5. Go to verse 21. I want you to see some stuff here. Six times Jesus. Now Jesus is teaching this to these people. And they are really upset at him. Look. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. Now what's he referring to there? He's referring to the old Moses law. But look what the next verse says. I'm just reading you the Bible, y'all. Verse 22, but I say, do you see that? He says this six times, but I say, as you study this week, I want you to read that. What does he say? The law said this, but relationship says that. Are you with me so far? You want me to keep on saying amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. The law says don't murder. But Jesus said, but I say don't have hate in your heart. Because if you do, you've already committed murder. You know what he said? The law says don't commit adultery. But I say that if you look on somebody with lust, you've already seen. You see? But I say. And they're getting madder all the time. Who are you? Who in the world do you think you are? That's why they killed him. Who do you think you are talking against Moses like that? The Old Testament is beautiful and I love it and will never do away with it. You need all of it. But I'm telling you, it led to the New Testament. It led to Jesus coming. It led to a Messiah that would come and take away the sins of the world. And now you live under grace and mercy and you need Him every day to survive. Amen. These people who killed Jesus were religious people. And they thought they killed him because of what he said against Moses. But they didn't even know what they were talking about. Because if they'd have read it, let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Can you give me a few more minutes?
Yes.
Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. I just got several scriptures I want to read you. Matthew 7, 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do even also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter in the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, but many there be that go in thereof. See, Jesus here is warning. Go to chapter 7, verse 28. Go on down there to verse 28. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Do you see this? It was the Word, because he was the Word. Amen? Jesus is the Word. And the Word was telling them that God is a God of relationship. And they were standing there astonished at this new doctrine. Man. For he taught them as one having authority, and look at the next part, and not like the scribes, Now, the scribes were people who were educated and professors in the doctrine. I mean, they knew the doctrine, but it was head and not heart. Oh, Lord, there's a sermon right there. It was head, not heart. You can have a head knowledge of God and not a heart knowledge. We don't come to church because we're scared somebody might see it, might, you know, get mad or whatever. We come to church because we love God and want to learn more about His Word. Amen?
Amen.
And sometimes when you can't get here, that doesn't mean that you're lower than anything. That just means that life has put you on another way and you just can't be here all the time. Guess what? You can have church right where you are. Amen? You can have church in your house, in your car, down the road. Why? Because we serve a God now that's not limited it to law. We serve a God that's about relationship. There are people in rest homes that will never go to church. But God loves them just as much as He loves me. Amen. I go to church every Sunday. You see, it's not about that. It's about relationship. Amen. Whew. Matthew chapter 12. I got a few more. Matthew chapter 12. I just want you to get this. I got a lot of time left. Matthew chapter 12, verse 6. But I say, I kind of skipped around, but in your Bible study, if you'll read these chapters, it'll be a lot of insight on you. But look what it said here. Matthew chapter 12, verse 6. But I say unto you, that to this place, there's an anointing in here. There's an anointing in this place today. Amen. Thank God for the anointing. Because you know what? I can't do this, y'all, without Him. I cannot do this without Him. I cannot get in this place and say anything that's worth anything without Him. Because I have to have Him tell me what I need to say. And I'm not going to come in here and tell you something unless He tells me to say it. If He don't have anything for me to say, I'll just get up here and say, we don't have nothing today. Let's go home. Amen. And everybody says amen. But He says, I can't even hardly read it. He says, but I say unto you that in this place, He's standing right there in the temple now, is one greater than the temple. That man has lost his mind. Who in the world? Who is he? Somebody tell me who he is. Well, he's just a carpenter's son. I believe he's married. You know, they won't even marry and all that. You know. There's one greater standing in front of you than the temple. Oh, no, he didn't. There ain't nothing no greater than the temple. Why? The temple represents God. The temple houses the Torah. There's nothing greater than the temple, because that's what the law says. Now he's standing there telling them there's something greater than the temple. Now, we have a generation of people today that are confused about the gospel, about the Bible. They don't understand it because preachers have got up there and preached it and they didn't even understand it, but they preached what they wanted somebody to hear, or they preached what they heard somebody else tell them to say. They didn't study, they didn't prepare, they didn't seek God for it. And they're an embarrassment to me, because it takes a lot of preparation to say something out of this word. Amen. And if you're not committed to do it, you don't need to do it. Because all you do is lead people astray. And there are people right now that will not go to church because they've got a bad conception of what church is all about. And it's not about laws, and it's not about rules, and it's not about neckties, and it's not about haircuts. It's about relationship. It's about a God that loves you. And I'm going to tell y'all something right now. I think it was Lanny Wolf. He wrote a song or sung a song. I could not get to him, so he came to where I was. And you know what? That is so true. I could not get to God. I was not good enough to get to Him. I couldn't get there. There are people right now that are struggling in this world, that are going through addictions, they're going through problems, and they're going through pain, and they can't get to church because they don't think they are good enough, or they don't look good enough, or don't have good enough clothes, all that garbage. And all they got to know is they'll just call on the name of the Lord. He'll love you right where you are. And they're confused about it. And so we got to tell them, Northview. And that's what I love about Northview. You've never done that. Ever since we've been here, you've never judged us. You accept us like we are. And I don't want to tell the world, if you'll just come here, you'll see a difference. Because y'all ain't like normal church people. Thank God.
Amen.
Amen. I've been invited to churches. I got to tell you this, Brother George. I've been invited. Y'all invited me to come, and I walk in the door, and y'all give me this here. Don't make me have flashbacks now. I'm going to tell you. Amen. What I used to be. Because y'all invited me here. And they look at me like that. And then I think about who, if somebody comes in off the street, Lord have mercy. Let me close with this. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. I want you to get this one right here. I hope you, when you hear the Sermon on the Mount, I hope it has a new meaning to you now. Because it's the truth. When He spoke the Sermon on the Mount, He began a controversy that ended up Him hanging on the cross because of this teaching right here. But I like what 28:18 says. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. All power. He's God. They hung Him on a cross, yeah. But because He's God, on the third day He came out. And He told them, right before He left, He ascended back to the Father, that all authority. What did He mean by that? I replaced everything. On one occasion, Jesus says, I'm the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. In this scripture here, he's saying to them, I've replaced everything. I am what you need. You call on me. He's alive. We played that song, I think it was last week or week four, during the offering or sometime. Guy Penrod sang that song, He's Alive. But He's alive today, y'all. He's alive for you. He's alive to help you through whatever you're dealing with. Whatever confusion, whatever problem, whatever addiction, whatever people. Let me tell you something, young people. I know you go through things. And I want you to know, He is more than a church story. He's more than a vacation Bible school story. He's real. He'll be your friend to help you walk down those halls at school. When you go to work on your job and you're feeling oppressed or whatever, He's alive, He's real, and He loves you. And just because you fell on your face today doesn't mean you got to stay on your face. It means He's right there to pick you up. How many of you made mistakes this week? How many? Don't raise your hand. Lord, don't raise your hand. How many of you made mistakes and then made them again? One time they asked Jesus, how many times are we supposed to forgive somebody? 70 times 7. 490 times. That doesn't mean 491, you're done, isn't it? What it meant was, as much as it takes. Now, if he told us to do that, how much more does he do that with us? You say, well, I don't agree with that kind of preaching you're doing, preacher. You're preaching that kind of stuff. Anybody can just do what they want to do, and God will love them. No, that ain't what I'm preaching. See, you ain't even listening if you think that. Because I'm talking about a God that loves you through whatever you're dealing with. I'm talking about a God that if you've got a problem and you really love Him, you ask Him to help you, He'll help you to the point that you get stronger and stronger. How many of you that have fallen on your face because of things have been made stronger? Amen? You don't do things that you used to do, not because you're scared of getting caught. You just don't want to do them anymore. Why? Because you find out that He's not going to judge you. He's not going to beat you over the head. He's going to love you. And He's going to work with you. How many of you parents got perfect children? Everybody raise their hand. But we all know that they're not. But you love them anyway, don't you? How many of you know that when they deliberately mess up, you don't throw them away? You wait for the right time. You try to talk to them. That's what the Holy Spirit does to us. He'll work with us. He'll say, you know, why'd you make that decision, man? I know God has, I messed up. Well, I'm going to love you through it. Because there's nothing in the world more powerful than love. I'm going to love you through it. I don't like what you did. I don't agree with it. But I love you through it. And you know what? You get stronger. And you find your relationship with God. It's not based on rules and religion and all that. Because I'm going to tell you something. I've seen some of these people who keep rules. They're a meaner junkyard dog. Amen. Really. I mean, I've been to churches. Let me tell you, I got a lot of stories in 44 years. I got a lot of stories. I've gone in churches and had to break up fights in the parking lot. Amen. I ain't broke many fights up here, thank God. Amen. Because all of us is broke down, can't hardly. That was all we knew to get to the car, amen. He's done fighting. Amen. Hello. Y'all know it's the truth. But I have. I've seen a lot of mess. And you know, when I come up, I gotta share this now because I gotta go. When I come up, I didn't know nothing about church. I knew nothing. I mean, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I told y'all the other day I went to church because I was bored, because it was right down the road. And I knew nothing. And so when I got saved, I just thought everybody who said this were what they were, they were. But I learned real quick, that's not true. So I went through a period of time where I wanted to just live like everybody else, want to be like everybody else, or you know, do what they want me to do, be like they want me to be. And I was so miserable. Because I can't be nobody but me. Young people, you can't be nobody but you. You can't be nobody but you. And I found out that God loves me anyway. And He helps me even to this day with issues and problems I've got. That's not right. He works with me. When that Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, there ain't no mom in the world got to worry about it. That Holy Spirit will do the job, right? And I love Him for that. I love y'all for coming to church, and we need to come to church. The Bible said come to church because this is where we grow and develop and see one another, so it is important that we come to church. But if for some reason you can't be here every Sunday and all that, that's okay. Because He's still God wherever you're at. Amen? He loves you no matter what. And He's going to bring you through whatever you're facing. And I don't agree with this stuff that categorizes us. Said, well, you know, Job's friends were not really good friends. Said, well, I don't know what you've done, but you've done something. All these problems you got. Friends like that, you don't need no enemies. But God loved Job right on through his problems, and he'll love you through yours. Would you just stand right now as we close? I'm through with this message, but I hope I've given you exactly what I felt like God would have me to give to you. And we entitled it Brand New. Brand New. Lisa, if you want to feel like coming. Lord, don't we appreciate Lisa?
Amen.
303. Don't y'all love church? I love coming to church. I appreciate all four of y'all that loves coming to church.